Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I apologize for the old song. This is an emergency.
It's okay, man. I was surprised we even had this in our system.
I didn't put it in there.
What was somebody having like a swing theme or something like that?
It's probably something they did on the Hawks show.
Oh, well, I thought maybe this was for the highfalutin Braves with their 1950 style. Man, see, unwritten rules. Yeah, you're gonna get out there aggressive on the base path. See, might as well have moved him over with a bunt. You know the Braves hate that. They hate aggressive base running. They're just like, oh, see? Oh, should have just sacrificed. Yes.
Ugh. Yeah, they probably hate shifts, too.
Oh, hate shifts. They hate anything fun baseball. You know, like, it's just anything they could do to just ruin your fun. That's what the Braves are about.
Fugazi extra innings.
I was telling this to Robbie yesterday. Robbie and I were on the edge of our seat yesterday watching that game. It was intense, man.
It was so intense.
I was like, you know what? They got a chance to go take this division. Go take that damn division. And I hate the Braves. It's been weird because I've never hated the Braves the most out of all the NL East teams. It's always been the Mets, but the Mets are so pathetic that it's tough to hate them as much anymore. It's kind of like the Knicks. Like, I'll always hate the Knicks number one, but right now it's just like I feel like a bully picking on them because, I mean, they're just doing a great job of ruining things themselves. Same thing with the New York Mets. And you may say that sounds ridiculous coming from a Marlins fan, but what have the Mets done in the last 30 years? You know, like, at least the Marlins have a couple of championships to hold up, even in a bright light, and a couple of MVPs that they've developed.
I mean, 1986, Mets, bro.
Man, the Mets, they got 1986 and Pete Alonso. Like, get the hell out of here. And burning through the best pitching rotation you've ever seen. Like, at least the Braves, you know, I can give them credit for winning a division. The Mets, they had, Harvey and DeGrom and all that. They had, like, one good year. The Dark Knight, bro. He was like too broski. He just did like a nude ESPN The Body issue and then just never showed up again for work. It's crazy. So, I the Mets always used to be number one for me in hate. But, I mean, I've genuinely just the rivalry that has been built with Atlanta. And they did a good job yesterday. The Marlins did a good job of or Fox Sports Florida did a good job of the montage. Like, just of all the good moments they've taught, you know, they've rolled back some of the playoff game from 97, the old Jose Fernandez fight with Chris Johnson and Brian McCann, and, you know, just some other great Braves and Marlins moments that will stick out in your mind. And I hate their guts. I hate how highfalutin they are. I hate their unwritten rules. And now I got beef with their mascot, who's showing up and mocking my guy, Triple M, because I look yesterday during the game, and while Trevor Rogers is on the mound, this dummy, Blooper the Brave, who I didn't even know was their mascot. I don't even know what the hell he's supposed to be, all right? He's like a Philly fanatic, but he's peanut colored. I don't know what's going on with him. But I look in the back there, and he's got a Macho Man costume on, and that's a fight. I'm sorry. That's just that you might as well have just come and spit in my dinner and say, hey, I want to fight. Oh, yeah.
We don't take fights lightly here around these parts down in the 305. So if you want to come and meet Blooper, I'm going to put a bloop right on your face. Big elbow off the top rope. You act so cute and cuddly on Twitter with your Twitter thumbs. And you think, ooh, you got such great form and so shook. First of all, mascots aren't even supposed to tweet. Everybody knows you don't have thumbs, so how the hell are you even doing that? You can't be doing voice to tweet because that doesn't make sense. Mascots don't talk. So I don't know why this guy's out here communicating. The second thing is, if you want to take a shot, you want to have the guts to step up with the macho man. You want to go into the ring with me, toe-to-toe, all right? Like Tito Santana, you want to go toe-to-toe with me, then step up and do it, because all I'm telling you is you get a Victory Slim Jim smacked right across your ugly nose. I'm not having it out here. And you think that this series is over? You think this division race is over? It's not over until the Macho Man says it's over, because we got a few more games to catch right up to you, and then a couple more games. Your magic number, your magic tricks aren't over yet. You might as well call the fish Houdini, because we're going to make that division lead disappear, just like I make your face disappear. Big elbow off the top rope. No further questions, Mean Gene. No further questions.
Let's get the headlines, Robbie. That was intense. Jesus.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Iran Fuels Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. If you think that was intense, ready for tonight. Marlins and Braves do it again. 7:10 first pitch tonight. Jose Ureña going on the mound for the Marlins. I feel like this is a wild card. It can go either way. I'm super nervous.
Do you think Jose Ureña cares at all about the division, or do you think he just wants to hit Ronald Acuña?
I think he just wants to hit Ronald Acuña. He won't do it in the first at bat. He'll throw a couple strikes first, and then, you know.
Whoosh. Maybe they should just, since aren't the Braves, you said they're doing a bullpen game?
Yeah, they are doing a bullpen game.
Maybe they should just start a bullpen game and just let Jose Ureña try and close this puppy. You know, so maybe the game's too much on the line, so he doesn't think he can get away with beating Ronald Acuña and just setting everybody up for failure because of his bloodthirsty revenge.
Yeah, he is.
He's definitely gonna plunk him tonight, right, Robbie? This is gonna happen.
It's his last chance to plunk him for the season. Like, he's not gonna pitch against the Braves again unless they meet in the playoffs. Oh man, can you imagine?
Dexter writes in, been hating the Braves since they were on TBS. Tell me about it. Superstation. I mean, might as well call it the Choker Station.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be carrying Clippers games there next year.
Oh, man. Dexter writes in, you got Goofy Braves mascot and Shannon Sharpe stealing bits. Yep. Yep. A lot of thievery out there right now from this show, and I'm not happy about it. Not happy about it.
This, by the way, is the what I thought was the last conflict-free Marlins game of the season, because, you know, obviously tomorrow night you got Game 4, Thursday night you got the Dolphins, Friday night you got Game 5, and Saturday you got Miami and Florida State. But although I did look at it on Saturday, Saturday's game against the Yankees is a 1:10 first pitch, so no conflict with Miami and Florida State on Saturday.
All right.
But yeah, tonight they got the audience to themselves. Like, I mean, I'm sure people are going to be more interested in Lakers and Nuggets tonight, but I mean, that's not till 9:00.
I'm not, man. I didn't even watch Monday Night Football. Like, it wasn't one of these things where, like, oh, I gotta watch Raiders and Saints. You know, like, if Monday Night Football doesn't intrigue me, I could pass on it. And so yesterday, I didn't have the nine screen setup. I had you know, just the one TV, and it was the Marlins. And then I flipped over, I watched the fourth quarter. You know, enough to watch Drew Brees just, you know, not be impressive. So. That's that.
Well, at least for tomorrow night with the Heat game, because tomorrow night's a Noche de Sixto, but at least, you know, the Heat game's not until 8:30. Marlins' first pitch is at 7:10. I feel like you can get a lot of the Marlins game in before tip-off. But then again, baseball, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one, too. Like, it's game three. You know, I'll keep an eye on the score. If it's close, I'll tune in. If it's a blowout, I don't really want to see that. I'm not into watching the Lakers boat race the Nuggets. But if the Nuggets looking like the Nuggets took a dagger to the heart the last game.
Yeah, I don't know. They're shook. I don't know. They've come back from 3-1 twice already. But I don't know. After that was a backbreaker the other day.
Yeah, like that feels like the one where you're just like, man, you've been fighting upstream so much, and now you got one like this. You're down 2-0. You know, but I guess if any team's going to do it and have the mental fortitude to do it, I guess they would be the team. But yeah, no, Marlins are getting top priority tonight.
Oh, as they should.
It's a must. It's a must watch for me. I'm sorry. First, you know, this is the most important Marlins week in a long time.
Yeah.
Especially from a team perspective. I mean, the only thing that you could really compare with it is like Giancarlo Stanton, if you're watching the home run race and seeing him get 60.
Normally it's individual accolades that get you on the edge of your seat. Like a no hitter is on the line. I still want to be. I apologize.
Yeah, no. This is, you're right. No hitter. Yeah, I know you said Steely Ensign Volquez one. Or Jose Fernandez doing his thing. Like, this is straight up just them in a race and to see what they can set themselves up for, and I'm into it. I want to see them do good.
One, their magic number is 5 because the Phillies did lose yesterday. Now, it could go the best case scenario. Now, we're counting chickens here, but their best case scenario, it could get down to as little as 2 tonight because the Phillies do play a doubleheader today against the Washington Nationals.
Now, if they choke, they can definitely they can put the Marlins in a good spot for tonight.
Yeah, if the Phillies lose both games today and the Marlins beat the Braves tonight, then the magic number is down to 2. But that's cool. Super best case scenario. Now, it should be noted that the first game of the doubleheader, the Phillies are throwing Aaron Nola, their best pitcher, and the Nationals are throwing some guy, Voth, who's 0-5 with a 7.17 ERA. That seems like a layup game for the Phillies.
The other thing that I like about this Marlins team that intrigues me about it, to be honest with you, is, you know, we love rallying around the teams that get hated on. And this Marlins team, like, everybody was yelling at them this year. Like, the Marlins were having sex raves in their locker room, in their clubhouse, and that's what got the corona to spread all over the place. Not that they were in one of the hotbeds of the country in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, you got Nightingale and Heyman. They're all out here like, oh, Heyman's like, oh, they went out to get milk. Never happened. You got Nightingale, who's like, oh, obviously somebody went out in Atlanta, has no proof. And everybody's like mad at the Marlins for ruining baseball. And like, it's not the most normal thing in the world. And then when the Cardinals, when they get riddled with it, bupkis, don't hear a damn thing. Nothing.
Yeah, well, there was a loose rumor that they were out at a casino, at least for the Cardinals. But I mean, that apparently, that didn't get blown up. Nobody was ripping the Cardinals, you know, going out to the Keys.
No, because the Cardinals, I mean, they are baseball royalty. Can't mess with the Cardinals. Nah, you know what? Actually, I can. Guess what? Hey, people can do dumb things in St. Louis. How about the Cleveland Indians? Not a peep out of these guys going to a casino against their teammates' wishes. Although I do think two of their guys got outcast for that. Either way, nobody asked the Cleveland Indians to step aside this season. They were asking the Marlins to do that.
Yeah, in fact, one of the Cleveland traded one of the dudes who was out and about in that fateful night in Chicago. They traded him to San Diego.
San Diego always seems to swoop in on these things. You know, they'll do these by any means. They'll trade injured players. They'll do whatever it takes.
Oh, yeah. The Lemon Law guy that we got, we had to send back.
Oh, yeah. So all I'm saying is, you know how we love It's Us Against the World down here in South Florida. This is the team. Like, this is a team that you should embrace for that from that standpoint. I know it's been a long time for people, but the rest of this country doing like what the rest of this country does with Miami. Anytime they get a little bit of shine, they try and whiz all over it, whether it be Canes, whether it be Heat, whether it be the Marlins. So F that. I'm not sitting around here, and I'm going to play nice with everybody.
Well, so speaking of the Canes, I know there's been a lot of rat poison in the coming in on the Canes, and the bro money, the spread's gone up. But I have a question, Tobin. I'm kind of torn about whether I want Miami and Florida State to play this Saturday, not because, you know, the virus or anything, but I kind of want to beat them with their coach. But at the same time, if you push the game back, it's a gamble. Like, what if down the line, like, De'Aaron King can't play because he got the Rona? So, like, you kind of want to get this game in, but at the same time, I want to beat them with their coach, even though I don't think it has that much of an impact losing their head coach for the game.
Interesting.
But I'm honestly torn about, you know, whether I want to have them beat them with their coach or beat them without their coach. But then again, you know, Miami, Florida State, just get the game in and play it, and hopefully the Canes win. I'm not like Leroy predicting blowout, and I'm sure the Canes bros blowing up on the text line thinking they're going to blow these guys out. Fact, hold on, Tobin.
What's that? Oh! You throwing out the records?
Yep, throwing it out. Ed Reed. Got to throw the record out.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know,
take, Go ahead, Robbie.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, we were saying these bad things about this Florida State team 2 years ago, and they got up to a 27-7 lead, and we were crapping our pants. I don't know if I can say that. Let me dump that.
You definitely can. You don't have to dump. All right. Don't have to do that. We'll take a quick break here on the show. 15 minutes of Heat. Heat are taking on the Celtics game four tomorrow.
One more headline.
Go ahead.
It's the last round of headlines. Sure. Deion Sanders, he's going to be the new head coach at Jackson State.
Didn't he just get a gig with Barstool? Like, what did he do? Did he do that for 3 seconds and then he goes, not for me?
Yeah, I know he's coaching his kid's team at high school, and but his kid's going to go on to be for the Owls next year. So, and then Jackson State, they're supposed to start football in the spring. So that's the, yeah, he's going to be the next coach. Yeah, three seconds, I'm out.
All right, we'll take a quick break. 15 minutes of Heat. Heat and Celtics tomorrow night. We will get you a little sound from practice yesterday and see what the guys are saying about the adjustments they got to make going into game four. We're back after this.
15 minutes of Heat.
Bam, bam. 15 minutes of Heat here for you on 790 The Ticket. Your Miami Heat back in action tomorrow night. Game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. Feel alive, baby. Oof. Let's go. Get that in hand, and then we walk in for the rest of the week with monocles in our eyes, top hats on our heads, penguin suits on our shoulders, canes in our hand, and, of course, a drink in the other. Classy, of course. To briskly dust off the Celtics. But we got TCB tomorrow to set that up. Also, I want my prediction to be more correct than Leroy's, quite frankly. We got Paul Severino. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk a little fish with him as the Marlins got a big in tonight. Robbie and I have both been talking about just how great it felt last night watching some big-time baseball, which we just haven't had that feeling down here in a while. It's been such a crazy whirlwind of sports, man. You know, not only just the fact that the sports is going on, but it feels like all of the teams in town really have something interesting going on. You know, you have the Hurricanes, obviously, with De'Aaron King and Rhett Lashley. Their offense looks, I mean, unbelievably fun. It's high-powered. We haven't had that. So that's been a lot of fun to watch. The Dolphins obviously haven't been great, but they are interesting because, you know, they put a lot of money into their team. You had all the draft picks. And we're kind of counting the clock on when Tua comes forth. And so there's a storyline there. Every Dolphins game is always going to get some buzz and juice around here. The Heat goes without saying they're in the Eastern Conference Finals, so that's a monster. You know, most important Heat basketball we've had since the Big Three era, so that's been huge. And then with the Marlins, yeah, they're in a pennant race. It's a weird, quirky season. This isn't typical of what we're used to with baseball because you didn't go over 162, but in a lot of ways that's been fun. You know, I've enjoyed the fact that it's been a shortened season. I've enjoyed the fact that there's been 7-inning games this year. I haven't enjoyed the new extra inning rules. I think that thing is terrible. I think that is a play on the sport. I almost rather have ties than that stupid extra inning rule that they're trying. But
it just leaves the
Panthers. The Panthers, you know, the Panthers made the playoffs, but you know. That's the Panthers doing. I don't know what to tell
you. By the way,
there
was a Stanley Cup game last night. I'm sure nobody knew that. There was a Stanley Cup game last night.
They're two games in, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. The Lightning tied the series at one apiece.
Boop. Had no idea. There's Stanley Cup going on right now? Yep. It's been out of my head. I have had no idea about it. You know, I think now that you say that, I feel like I saw Barry Melrose do something this weekend, which is usually an indication of Stanley Cup. Otherwise, he's not doing anything, you know? It's like Barry Melrose is just sitting in the bullpen the entire year, and they just warm him up for Stanley Cup. That's it.
Yeah, and their first game was on Saturday when we had a massive conflict of doom. You already had 5 screens occupied, and not one of them was on the hockey game.
I had no idea. Sorry. I can't be bothered with it. So, yeah, man, it's a really cool time in sports down here. Obviously we're dealing with some conflicts and doom and whatnot, but this is really awesome that we have all of this stuff because it was gone for so long, and now it's all right in front of us. And then, you know, with the Dolphins, you know, hopefully, you know, Tua's going to start this year, and that'll pick business up there. But
Micah Parsons,
A1 number one. What were you saying, Robbie?
I just dropped the Micah Parsons on there, you know.
Oh.
That's Greg Rousseau. Oh, sorry, carry on.
So you're already on Draft Watch. That's what you got picking up.
By the way, if you want more Draft Watch, if you want more prospects, go to the ticketmiami.radio.com. The front article's still there about how the Dolphins season's over and how they need to focus towards the NFL draft. The article's still up there on the tickets front page.
Yeah, Robbie's an author now. He's going and giving his thoughts. So the Heat, they've had some time off here. They had practice yesterday. And let's hear a little bit from your guys. Here is Jay Crowder. And I like the fact that Jay Crowder was asked this and the fact that he answered it the way that he did, because Jay was essentially asked, like, is there more of a shookness to this 2-1 series lead that you have because Boston has led the majority of the way? And like Jay Crowder should answer, he's like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, at this time of the year, I don't care how many quarters we win, as long as we win the game. Obviously, you want to play your best basketball for 48 minutes, but it's not going to always happen that way. So you got to find a way to win. And I think we've been doing a good job of just reacting and trying to find a way to win. But we definitely got to start the games better. We feel that. We feel that trickle down throughout the whole series. It's been like we got to start the games better to give ourselves a chance just to weather the storm, whether it comes in the third quarter or fourth quarter a little better. So with that being said, we know it, we feel it, and it's on us to make that adjustment. But no matter how many quarters they win, we win. At the end of the day, it matters who wins the game and who advances. So that's all we were focused on.
Yeah, man, I hated that take so much. Legler was peddling that stuff after the last game where he goes, well, I mean, if you really think about it, Boston's led the majority of the way. Yeah, Tim, but they haven't won the majority of the games. Like, how about that? Like, do we ever, you know, are we going to sit here and give them credit for winning stupid first quarters for the entire way? Like, what do you want to do? You want to give them the opening round 10-9? Good for them.
They landed more jabs.
Yeah, they get knocked out at the end of it. What does it matter? And the fact that they even got an extra frame because of the crooked referees. Let's just not ignore that fact that's going down. So I'm happy that Jay Crowder's in that same mindset. And like, and also, when did it all... So let me get this straight. The Boston Celtics go and win a quarter by 8 points, and then the Heat go and win a quarter by 20 points. I'm supposed to... Because the Boston Celtics did something twice, but the Heat did something twice as good, somehow Boston's run there is better. It's just a stupid thing that we're going with here. You know, I really just don't even know what to say about it. The other thing that's interesting, and I got a lot of questions of this. I did an IG live yesterday, and people were asking me, well, do you think that the Heat should do some change to the starting lineup? You know, people are talking about like bringing Tyler Hero into the starting lineup. I really don't see the point of that. I feel like Tyler Hero's beauty is that, first of all, he's a spark off the bench. He kind of gets to go and peruse and do his own thing. A lot of what the Goron role had early on in the year and go and control things. You know, to me, if you're really concerned about how the Heat is starting games, I almost feel like you should flip it on its head completely. I don't think they should do this. I'm just saying, if you think that you go in a starting lineup change, I'm fine with the way they're going. I feel like they're going to have a game where they start off a lot better. But if you're going to do it, you know, flip it on its axis, like do something completely wacky to throw Boston off. I wouldn't go about this and be like, yeah, let's put Tyler Hero in the game. First of all, Tyler Hero's been playing so good. He's been closing every game. You're going to basically wear him out by the time he gets to the end of these games anyway. You know, it was a big reason why Spo put Goron on the bench to start the year, just to be a little bit more respectful of limiting his minutes and now having him ready for this start of the year. But you know, if you really feel like these games are getting off to slow starts, and especially from a standpoint of you're allowing too many points, I would almost do something like take Duncan out of the starting lineup and put Derek Jones in. Like something extreme like that. And I don't even love that idea. I'm just telling you, if you're going to do something completely wacky to throw Boston off and maybe change your identity from offensive to defense. Because typically what they do at the start of these games is the number one guy they're trying to feed is Duncan Robinson and get him going. That's almost the way I would go. But I don't think they're at that level. They're up 2-1. Seems way too dramatic to do something like that. The other big storyline is, well, do you get a more intense Jimmy Butler? Do you get a guy who is going to and when people say more intense, they're really talking about more aggressive, a guy who's going to look for his shot more, a guy who's going to try and enforce the issue a little bit more. Here's Eric Spoelstra on getting a more intense, aggressive Jimmy Butler.
He's going to be intense, Jimmy, every time he steps on in between the lines. And we've had several practices that no one saw here in the bubble that he was again that guy, just a skirmish and pushing, yelling, all the stuff that we love. But this is competition. I know I keep on saying it. They're going to bring what they bring. We're going to bring what we bring, and sometimes you're going to find a way to get the best of them, but they have something to say about it. And sometimes they're going to get the best of us, and they got the best of us, you know, last game, and they deserved it. And we're moving on to the next one.
Texter writes in 786-360-0790. Jay Crowder falls on the floor a lot. Not a flopper, just brimming with culture. Yeah, he's the Heat culture Hulk, man. That oozes through his veins. That's not flopping. What you're confused by, what you see Marcus Smart doing, that's flopping. When Jay Crowder or Kelly Olynyk do that, that's culture. Try and keep up. You know, I'm not gonna continue to have the same lessons in class if you're not paying attention. You can go back and watch the PowerPoints, idiots. Another text writes in, hey, you didn't mention the two Inter Miami big signings for Inter Miami as the interesting parts of sports. Here's why. Okay, I can't get them up here in Palm Beach County. And it's very frustrating. And until I do, I can't report on things that I can't see. So I'm sorry. They had that guy who's the guy from France, right, Robbie?
Well, yeah, Higuain, the Argentine. They signed him, and then they signed another dude from France.
Now, again, they're asking me to download an app to watch these games up here. Have they been good in the early goings, Robbie?
Well, I think Higuain he just signed like yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't think he's played a game yet. I don't think he's played a game yet. But they play tomorrow night against the New York Red Bulls.
Wait, like they're named after the energy drink?
Yeah, that's what they are. The New York Red Bulls. I'm not making that up.
All right.
They go out and crush a Red Bull and then go out and take the field.
The team has wings?
I know there's a Phillies relief pitcher that did that. Like, you know, he came into the game, he like crushed a Red Bull, like smashed it, and then just went on to pitch.
No, that's annoying. That seems like a Heath Bell type of move. No. Everything's a gimmick.
He crushes a pizza before he goes out on the mound.
Yeah, you know, yeah. A fat boy, you know, it would be a great gimmick getting some outs, not walking in runs. Well, all right. Well, speaking of the Marlins, we will talk to Marlins television broadcaster Paul Severino. He will join us on the show coming up next.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah. You better. Everybody's doing the fish.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on 7-9 Ticket. Leroy did bolt last hour. He'll be back tomorrow. So we'll get into a little Marlins talk. You go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line, shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Robbie and I have been talking about it all morning, how different it felt last night, watching a game with some playoff juice to it. And I'm sure this guy felt it as well. Paul Severino, television broadcaster for your Miami Marlins, joins us there. Did it feel bigger last night, Paul? Like were you on edge with everything? Because that's how Robbie and I were texting after every pitch, everything that was going on late in the innings. Were you heartbroken after blowing the big lead? Like, did yesterday feel different and bigger to you?
Yeah, it certainly has. And thanks for having me. Good to talk with you guys again. It's felt that way now for, well, most of the season, actually. But, yeah, especially this series in Atlanta. You know, it's one thing to, you know, let's just say be playing the Nationals and wonder what the Braves are doing somewhere else. It's a whole other thing to have it all right in front of you right there. Listen, the Braves are a hell of a team and have been for quite some time. So you knew that going into Atlanta when they had something on the line too. I mean, it's not just the Marlins fighting for a playoff spot and the Braves already have something locked up. I mean, Braves are trying to, you know, secure their own division title here too. So it's going to be intense. Kind of figured that going in, but it's been fun. And I think that it's without question. You're hoping for the best, but without question, it's going to be character building stuff for where this organization is headed for many years to come.
What was the more heartbreaking moment to you yesterday? Was it Marte's bullet that gets caught or Monte getting thrown out at third?
Oh man. I think it was probably the Marte line drive. Because I think right there, if it's Donnie said it after the game, I think if it's a couple of feet, you know, above Riley or even a couple feet to his right or left, I don't know if he's able to react to it. I mean, that ball was right at him. I mean, that was thrown in the backyard with your dad, you know, right at him in the chest. Like it was with a little more heat on it, unless your dad throws 111 miles an hour. But I mean, it was unbelievable. I think that if it gets down in the corner, probably clears the bases, at least scores two. And in terms of the Monte play, I think that's a play that, you know, Donnie said it after the game. Todd said it on the air last night. Monte after the game. I mean, that's just kind of that's how this team is. You know, I think that's one of those things where everything had to go right for the Braves, and everything did go right. Sometimes as athletes, and I certainly am not one, but as athletes, you know, you trust your athleticism, you trust your baseball IQ, You know, the old baseball adage is never make the first or third out at third base. That was the second out of the inning. You know, I mean, that gets him in a scoring – he was in scoring position, but potentially could get him to third. You know, when a sac fly could tie the game. Swanson had to recognize it and get over to third. Freeman had to recognize it and put himself in a position to throw. He looked like Matt Ryan out there. He hit a moving target, and Swanson then has to make the catch and make the tag, and they had to go to replay. It was that close. I mean, it's hard to fault it. I know it's probably frustrating to give out an out on the bases, but I think that it's that this team has played with that kind of energy and that kind of, you know, I don't want to call it reckless abandon, but with that sort of flair to make the defense work, you know, and make the defense move and make plays. And, you know, last night you tip your cap, they made a play.
Yeah, I felt crushed for Monte too, because you could just see the look on his face on the bench, because he was trying to make something happen. He's in there, you know, specifically because they want to speed things up. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's talked about, you know, he came out of the gate talking about, like, we're not going to be bottom feeders anymore and stuff like that. So, you know, he wears this stuff heavy. So I'm sure that had to be crushing for him, and them having to pick him up afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, the way this team has gone, I don't remember if I said it on air last night or on some other media outlet, I forget at this point. But, you know, I think that there's no one clear-cut Cy Young winner on this team. There's no one clear-cut MVP of the league on this team. It's been a little bit of everybody, or a lot bit of everybody throughout the year. You know, and for Monte these last few weeks, 3 weeks, month, however long it's been for him, that's kind of been his role. And that's an important role to have. You know, he's not putting up 30 home runs right now, and that's fine. But what he's doing is stealing big bases. He's on there to score tying runs, game-winning runs. He was on there. He scored when Alfaro knocked him in last week. You know, I mean, that is his role for now. He's not going to be a pinch for the next 20 years of his career. But for right now, that's what his role is. He's done a great job with it. And again, you know, I think it's got to feel good to each of these guys, whether you're asked to be, you know, a key part of the rotation, Sixto, Sandy, Pablo, or whether you're asked to be a pinch runner. You know, I think that it's everybody's job and everybody's role is so important and so vital and so magnified at this point in time that, yeah, I mean, you feel for the kid who just wants to contribute and be a part of it. And, you know, more times than not on the bases has done that this year.
Hey, Paul, I feel like listening to you guys yesterday during that at bat, I feel like you guys are setting up a Monte Harrison stolen base. You're talking about how Melanson's slow to the plate and Flowers historically has not been good at throwing guys out at second base. And I thought Matt Joyce is going to let Monte try to steal second. Were you surprised like I was when he puts the ball in play?
Yeah, I mean, I never know. Like when I – so there's times that I ask a question and I kind of know the answer, but I'm just, you know, being good broadcaster and setting up the analyst. And then there's other times where I honestly don't know the answer. And I'm giving Todd a chance to, you know, give his thoughts as to what would happen. And I, you know, I don't know. I think usually in a situation like that, you know, you always say, well, you don't put in a pinch runner unless you're going to run. But at the same time, like how frisky do you want to get on the bases? So I wasn't sure. I mean, I could see it both ways. You know, I think that it was probably going to be a situation where he ran at some point. But I don't know without looking it up how many times Monte has been on first base with Melanson on the mound. So maybe he needed a pitch to kind of gauge his move or whatever it was. So, you know, if it was the first or second pitch and it was a pitch that, you know, Joyce thought he could drive, I mean, I don't think he was trying to smack it into the ground. He's not that, you know, Baltimore chop kind of hitter. I think it might have just been, you know, not the contact that he was looking for. So, you know, it might have just been – it might have been in the plans, in the works, if a pitch is outside or there's a breaking ball or something that was, you know, in the dirt. Maybe it was the second pitch or the third pitch. But, you know, that's something you probably have to ask Monte in terms of him getting a read on it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it was certainly possible. It probably would have happened at some point. But, you know, unless Monte's been in the league for 25 years and has seen Melanson 1,000 times over at first base, he may have just been trying to get a gauge on his move for the first or second pitch.
We're talking to Paul Severino, and you guys can watch them all and take on the Braves tonight on Fox Sports Florida. 7:10 first pitch. The coverage will get going at 6:30 with the Marlins pregame show. They do an outstanding job. I want to take you back to this weekend. Brian Anderson's 3-home-run game as a broadcaster. How cool is that, calling that accomplishment?
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. I mean, for him, he's such a good kid. I mean, we miss the moments that we get to hang out with these guys and talk to them around the cage and all that connecting that we're fortunate enough to do on a daily basis. We haven't been able to do that. But, you know, Brian's been a big part of this organization for a few years now. I've been fortunate to call, I think, every one of his home runs, or just about every one of his home runs. So for him to get one of those three homer nights was cool. Only the third Marlin to do it. And I think that, listen, the organization loves him. I love him. We all love him in South Florida. He's a grinder. They call him a psycho. I mean, he's intense. You know, that's the thing. I think that for where the Marlins are headed, they have a lot of nice guys on the team, and that's great, and that's certainly good for us as broadcasters because they'll always talk to us, whether they're going good or going bad. That's great. But I think once you get in between the white lines on the field, you need guys that have that kind of fire and that passion and a little bit of that anger and fire in their belly, if you will. And Andy's definitely got that. And I think that for as much as we talk about, and for good reason, talk about Mickey being the heart and soul of this team, Andy certainly seems to be kind of that attitude edge that they have too. I think Alfaro's got a little bit of that in him too. You know, you need those kind of guys who are going to ask a lot of themselves and are frustrated when they don't get it. And I think that, you know, for most of August, that was kind of the case with Andy, but something clicked with him. And, he's been as expected he would be this year, which is a big part of the offense. And for him to have such a big night like that was really fun to watch. And, I hope he's around for a while. It's not my money to spend, but I hope he's around for a while. He's a good guy.
How has it been, Paul? How's it been calling this season from the standpoint of the schedule? I mean, it's had to been absolutely bananas, all the double headers. I know the games are seven innings, which I've actually kind of liked as a baseball fan. The seven inning games have been kind of fun, but just the idea of how many days you've had to go in and broadcast a couple of games just to kind of catch up with everything that happened at the start of the year.
It's been a grind. There's no doubt about it, but you know, I say it a lot, like it certainly beats having a real job. I mean, some broadcasters will do other sports in the baseball off season. I am not one of those guys. So like I pretty much do not a lot. So if you think about it, and this is me not complaining, by the way, when you think about it. So we finished up last year, I think it was like September 29th, but we'll call it October. So October, November, December, January, February, I did nothing. Then I went to spring training a few times and chatted and caught up with guys or whatever. Did one spring training game. The second one got canned because everything shut down. Then we start the season. So now I really haven't done work in March, April, May, June, and most of July. Then I work for 2 months, and then I'm off for another six. So I think it's like an 18-month stretch where I'm only working for 2 months. So I accept the grind that we have for these 2 months of baseball. And, you know, there was certainly a point in time where we thought that maybe there wasn't even going to be a baseball season this year. So, you know, it's a lot. I live about 45 minutes from the ballpark, so it's a lot of time in the car. But, listen, like I said at the beginning, it beats having a real job. So I'm happy to do it. And, I'm also glad that they're kind of in the race right now. I think if we were going through everything that we were going through and watching some lousy baseball and a lot of losses, then I think it would be a lot more frustrating than it is. But it's exciting. And however they got to it with six games left, that they're in a postseason spot, doesn't really matter. They're six games left and they're in a postseason spot. That's what matters.
What is the biggest thing that you lose out on when you're calling games remotely for these road games and not being there? What is the biggest loss from that?
Well, specifically last night, like the Marte ball was hit so hard that that I couldn't track it with my eyes. I had to rely on the camera and the directors in Atlanta to cut it. And it was hit so hard that it was already caught and Riley was already walking off the field by the time that they cut to third base. You know, so like one of those things where you think off the bat, it's a rocket, it's in the corner, it's a double, it's three runs. And then you see Riley coming off the field, and you're like, oh, that stinks. That was like a specific example of being on the road. But, you know, I think that what we all miss out on from a broadcast perspective, and it ties into the fan perspective too, I think you know, and it's all for a good reason. We get it. We respect it. Not having people in the stands. I think back to Sixto's, I think it was his first start in Miami, and he struck out 10. And it was, you know, they do a great job in the ballpark of turning up the fake crowd noise and everything else. But it felt like he got to like 7, 8, 9, 10 strikeouts. And there, it's sort of like he got there in a blink of an eye. And it was just like, wait a second, like there was no fan build of that, you know, as they're kind of following along this thing. And I think we miss out on that too. I think I would certainly hope, you know, at this point that if fans were in the stands, and I kind of say this to myself every time we walk out of the building every night, like looking around the building, like the way that we walk out from home plate and then walk out around the concourse out toward right field. So like on the concourse, I'm sure you've been to the ballpark, you can see the field and you just like, I look up in the seats and I'm thinking, man, if it was, you know, early September, mid September, now late September, and there were games in this ballpark and this team was where they are, man, I just wish that this place would be rocking and it's not. And, you know, that kind of stinks. And, but hopefully, you know, people do what they have to do so we can get back to some semblance of normal in the real world. And then hopefully that trickles into the baseball world. And, you know, I know that the Marlins are set up great for the next, you know, however many years. And this is not a, you know, the way that it had been in the past, the flash in the pan. This is not like a one and done. This is, you know, something that they've been talking about and building for quite some time now. And I know people were frustrated with the way things went in between 17 and 18, but it, you know, it was four runs like this so that this doesn't happen every 17 years, that this happens every, you know, 10 months, you know, and every 12 months and every July they're doing something at the deadline to help the big league club. And every September they're in the race. And hopefully every October they're playing baseball. That's the hope. So hopefully this is, they got work to do, but hopefully it's the first of many to come.
Before we get you out of here, Paul, and you guys again, catch Paul Severino, Todd Hollinsworth on the call tonight. 7:10 first pitch, Marlins and Braves, Fox Sports, Florida. Before we get you out of here, best guest, will Jose Urania plunk Ronald Acuna tonight?
God, I hope not. I hope not. I don't know why that he would. I don't think it's a personal vendetta. And this Braves offense is just too good. I mean, I can't see it happening. Certainly not in a tight game, and that's what you'd be hoping for. I think everybody's kind of past that now. I mean, I don't necessarily want to rehash it, but I'll say what I said when it happened. I mean, I think that Acuna was just extremely locked in for a week period of time. And, you know, you watch Urania, you see where he throws. A lot of his balls go, you know, inner third to a righty and keep going in. And
I know, but it's also got to be a thing. Like, I think it was the YouTube broadcast, actually, the last when they pipped again. Like, I know Urania's just wild, but at this point, like, do you think Acuna even cares? He's just like, come on, man. But it's one of these.
You're right. I've never had 95 or 96 coming at my hand, so I don't know. I'm sure if I were Acuna Jr., I would sleep well at night knowing that the bills are taken care of, but I would also, you know, probably be frustrated with that. But at the same time, if you step back and look at it from 30,000 feet, I mean, when Jose misses, he misses there. And unfortunately that he was in that spot and really hot at the time. And, you know, say it all the time, you got to make these guys move their feet. If they're that comfortable, you got to move their feet. What you never like to see is guys go at guys' heads and potentially end careers. I mean, it's one thing to take, you know, 94 in the butt cheek and it, you know, be able to walk it off. It's another thing to get plunked in the head. Listen, Marlins know about that with Stanton, right? It's a scary thing. It's not anything to joke about. I don't think that's necessarily the plan with Urania, or was even at the time. And I don't think now with everything that's on the line, this Braves offense does not need any spark, any extra base runner right about now. They're absolutely on fire offensively. So I hope it doesn't happen. And I certainly don't think it would happen on purpose.
Paul, thanks for the time, man. Catch up tonight with Todd Hollinsworth. Again, 7:10 first pitch, 6:30 starting the coverage on Fox Sports Florida. Marlins and Braves, big one tonight. Thanks for the time, Paul. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, boys. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Robbie, fantastic job, man. We will talk to everybody tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.